Hi, I'm Lydia Bastianich, and you're listening to Food Fridays on The Leonard Lopate Show.
The growing media landscape gives all of us an opportunity to share our passions and hobbies with the rest of the world. When Meng Qi started making simple YouTube videos to showcase her traditional home-cooked Korean recipes, her audience grew so large that not only was she able to build a major online presence, it has also inspired a new cookbook. Meng Qi's Real Korean Cooking is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and I'm very pleased it has brought her to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
What made you want to start making videos on YouTube?
I always like to share whatever it is, my knowledge, whatever. I want to share with many people, and then cooking is one of these. Many people love my food, Korean dishes, even Koreans. So the 2007, like my son, he studies computer, and then he said, "Mom, why don't you post that you share your recipes through YouTube video? These days, YouTube is really going well." And then first I was kind of a little reluctant, but I just decided, yeah.
Well, you could have done a blog as well. That's what a lot of people have done.
Yeah, I could have done. But before posting the recipes on YouTube, I had another hobby. I was crazy about that, online game. And then every night I play game, and then I didn't have any room to think about something else, like a food blog or something like that.
And then that's where you got your name. Your real name isn't Meng Qi. Doesn't Meng Qi mean hammer in Korean? That doesn't sound like it would apply to cooking.
Yeah, when I play the game, online game, the name is City of Heroes, but the game company already went to bankruptcy. At the time, one of my characters' name is Meng Qi because I was supposed to kill baddies, all the run around the street,
With a hammer.
Yeah, and the kind of, the virtual world. So I had online friends from all around the world, and then we just had a task force, and then I chose a really tough name. So I was thinking, okay, what kind of name could be really tough, sexy girl? So Meng Qi, I chose this. Yeah. And then when I did a YouTube video, so I had to fill out account name. So at that time, I was playing that character. So, okay, let's do it. I never thought about this, expected that my YouTube channel is going well.
Well, I assume that most of the people who follow your YouTube videos have no idea that your name means hammer. But was it important to you to share traditional Korean recipes? You think that people in this country know very much about Korean food, even though in New York City we have a fair number of Korean restaurants?
Yeah, that's all I know. I mean, I never went to any culinary school, and I never had any restaurant. And also, I never learned any recipes from cookbook. Can you believe that? I'm selling my cookbook right now. And my readers, my cookbook purchaser, those guys are learning recipes, from my cookbook and website. But I had never learned from cooking, cooked from the, cookbook. And then, yeah.
You learn from your family.
Yeah, from my family, mom and, aunts, grandmothers, yeah.
Well, usually when you learn that way, there are no measurements. You don't do a tablespoon of this and a cup of that. So you had to work all of those things out?
That was a tricky thing, yeah. I still, when I cook for myself at home, I never measure. But when I make the video, and recipe should be very exact. Otherwise, millions of people follow my recipe, kimchi recipe. I cannot tell them, hey, sorry, this time it turned out a little salty. Yeah. Sorry, I cannot say that. I need to really work hard. And then to make the real ratio and measurement I need to give. That's a kind of promise between me and my viewers.
Are the recipes in this cookbook the ones that you have done on your website and your videos?
Yeah, because when I made my cookbook, the editor asked me, how many new recipes should be more. But I said, some Korean, in order to learn Korean cooking, you cannot skip the kimchi. You cannot skip the, bean paste stew, how to make rice. And something like that, you have to, whatever, how many cookbook I make, I have to keep posting this one. Because very important and classic recipes cannot be skipped, yeah.
Well, you were doing traditional recipes. You ever experiment? We were just talking with Melissa Clark about adding sweet peas to guacamole. Some people think that sounds great, and other people were really horrified.
That's a really great idea. And also fusion, my readers. For example, I have some Korean the street snack. It's called hotdog. Hotdog, street sugar syrup inside. And then I just show them this is a Korean authentic way street snack. Those guys made that instead of using sugar, they filled that with mozzarella cheese. So my readers are very fusion, you know. So,
but also, doesn't Korean food lend itself to Western thinking in a way that even Chinese food doesn't? Because one of the very popular dishes is fried chicken. There's a lot of barbecue. And even though they're done differently, they're still things that we understand.
Yeah, so I like to stick to traditional way, what I did for my family for decades. And then later, maybe I may change my mind. Some fusion style, more better looking, you know, so good presentation. Maybe I may change my mind. But now I like to stick to traditional way, authentic recipes.
What about Korean fried chicken? Is it similar or different from American chicken wings?
Yes, different. American I don't have many chance to eat, you know, American fried chicken, but compared to Korean chicken, my chicken is much, much crunchier. Crunchier and also seasoning sauce is like make it a little sticky and chewy, and it's irresistible. So definitely that's why Korean fried chicken is very popular these days.
How does it get crunchy?
I use the starch. Mm-hmm. Starch, you know, potato starch, I use this. Deep in the starch and also double fry. And then first time you fry, like around 10 to 12 minutes, and looks very crispy. But don't be deceived. You need to refry again one more time, 10 more minutes, and then crunch, crunch. I always tell my readers, until it looks like a rock, rock, and then you feel through the tongs, your tongs, and then you successful, you know, crunchy chicken, you will make it. I say that.
It's not hard enough so that your teeth can't go through it.
Yeah.
Now, are there certain seasonings and spicings that are unique to Korean food? Can we get the basic ingredients in any Asian market?
Yeah. These days, Korean food is very popular, getting popular. So I see that some ingredients are already sold that, you know, American style whole food, you know. Korean hot pepper flakes is less spicy than cayenne pepper. So basically, like when I make kimchi looks very red. But I also choose a little mild version hot pepper flakes. So you when you go to Korean grocery store, everything is sold. And then my cookbook front more than 100 ingredients photo. That's why we really, really focus on ingredients and what can be substitute. But basic, most important one is only several ingredients.
And you give us sources for some of them if we can't find them at the local key food.
Yeah, and also Amazon these days sell online. You know, Amazon, they sell, but even a little expensive, but still you can find. Yeah.
I mentioned that barbecue is very popular in Korean cooking. Is it done differently from American barbecue?
Oh, that's exactly what I taste in Korea. That's my recipes now. So, Bonchon chicken, you know, Gyochon chicken, tastes so good, you know. But almost the kind of a key secret, little secret is that they have their own kind of a special some ingredients inside that kind of give a different flavor. But I learned this. I learned the recipe from a real Korean store, the, you know, chicken place.
But you don't do the barbecue on the kind of barbecue that we would do it. You do it on the equivalent of a hibachi?
Yeah, Korean barbecue is fun. You can just American style, you can do outside, outdoor, mm-hmm. charcoal barbecue, and also inside, indoor. you can make the, you know, just when you visit the Korean restaurant, they give you all side dishes and also lettuce wrap, and you know, sit around together, you know, friends and family together, and then you guys cooked, you know, meat, and then put it this, and then also samjang, dipping sauce, bean paste, kind of mixture, and then or sometimes use raw garlic, sliced raw garlic if you are brave enough, and also chopped green chili pepper, and then all make one pouch and then eat it. So this one pouch contains all kinds of flavor inside, and also besides, you don't have to eat all meat, you know. So like, even though we enjoy barbecue, but actually in your stomach, like a less amount of, you know, meat is going, and also more with all kind of, you know, vegetables and dipping sauce.
My guest is Mangchi, M-A-A-N-G-C-H-I. Her book, Mangchi's Real Korean Cooking, Authentic Dishes for the Home Cook. You mentioned that you don't use as much meat in dishes in Korean food. It's just one of the ingredients, one of the variety of tastes that you would want in a dish?
When we make Korean bulgogi or Korean barbecue, of course we have you know, tons of meat we have to marinate, you know, barbecue. Mostly we have our meal contains rice. Usually these days many people eat multigrain rice for health issue and more tasty. So multigrain, you know, beans and barley and the sweet rice and also, you know, brown rice all together. So a side dish we prepare. So rice and side dishes.
So yeah. If for vegetarian, there's a lot of food that comes out of Korean cuisine that they can eat as well.
Yeah.
Now, is the typical Korean meal similar to the kind that we eat in the West, an appetizer and then a main course?
That's side dishes. Side dish. Usually when you go to Korean restaurant, they bring some small kind of, you know, side dishes. But real Korean cooking, when I serve for my family, we don't do that. We just serve at the same time rice and all side dishes together. Usually rice and soup. Some we need a kind of, you know, the liquid stuff because you can swallow easily. And also side dishes made with all the vegetables, seafood, and sometimes beef, and all kinds of, you know, the dishes are like all contains. Sometimes the spinach side, for example, you don't need anything else. Just a spinach blanch and mix with the seasoning sauce. So this can be vegetarian dish. Yeah.
But they all can come out at the same time, you say, and then you just might take a sip of the soup and then eat some of the rice and then go to the banchan.
Exactly, because that's why I'm really accustomed to Korean meal table. So when I eat this, like, you know, sometimes like some dried anchovy, stir-fried dried anchovy I eat, kind of my mouth is dry. I need some juicy stuff. What is it? It's stew. So, okay, next one is rice and stew. After stew, I want some pungent stuff, sweet, sour stuff. Okay, I go to the, you know, some roots, some mountain vegetable. The root is mixed with like sweet, sour, pungent in sauce. And then we eat it. So all while we are kind of eating a meal, we just experience all kind of, you know, the taste and flavor, texture.
Yeah. Are there regional differences in Korean food? Would a meal in North Korea be similar to one in the South?
A little different. North Korean style, for example, kimchi making, and North Korea is, even Korea is a small country, but North is North. So it's a little colder than South, southern part. So kimchi, when they make that, and they don't use much, like, many spices, and less spicy. And the southern part is that, you know, the easily kimchi go bad, you know, kimchi sour too quickly. So we add more seasonings like fish sauce, you know, fish, a lot of like fish sauce and hot pepper flakes, and then look like really red color. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned in the book that your YouTube channel show just started as a hobby and then it grew into a full-time job.
Yes, that's my full-time job. Always, even today, in order to come here, and then I had to stop my doing some experiment.
Now, I imagine at the beginning you were a little nervous, and also you didn't know what you know now. Did you have, have there been many bumps in the road along the way?
Exactly, yeah. You just saw my old time video, and when I don't know what's going on here, you know, to make a video, but recipe is always the same. My recipe same, but by time goes by, I have been doing 8 years so far. So I know that how I have to teach, you know, so how to present these things so that my viewers, my readers can learn easily. Yes.
And in the cookbook, there are some pages where you have a lot pictures showing us step by step how something is done, because there's no way to figure it out any other way just by following the recipe.
I'm kind of visual person because video, I'm from the, you know, YouTube video. So I asked my editor, that all photos are taken by me. So I asked her, as many as you can, please. Even though she has to cut down the page because the page is too big, more than 300 pages. Mangchi, we got to cut down this one. What are you going to do? Shall I cut down your story or a photo? She asked me. And I said, okay, just in 1 second after, just cut off my story. Just, you know, I have to show them more photos. Yeah.
Well, there, of course, can be a second cookbook in which you could tell more of your story.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have this one called Mangchi's Real Korean Cooking, subtitled Authentic Dishes for the Home Cook. It's from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you for inviting me.